Hello, and welcome back to Sports Sport Podcast, episode 16. I'm Aiden.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Alejandro.
And today we have a very diverse set of news from multiple leagues and sports.
Lots of stuff from the past 2 weeks.
We will start with the NBA.
Yeah, so, and it's a prize move. Tyronn Lue joined the Clippers coaching staff as an assistant head coach.
Yeah, he was linked with the Lakers earlier, but ultimately didn't sign with them with, like, wage or set contract length demands. And ultimately,
I'm surprised he didn't sign with him because he's LeBron's puppet.
Yeah, and LeBron apparently wanted him to. So.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't really make sense with the Clippers. I don't like Ty Lue really as a coach. You know, I don't know everything about him, but I just know that LeBron cannot control them, and I don't see any of his time in Cleveland as a sample of him because that's mostly just LeBron.
Well, yeah, that's true because he didn't run too many plays or have a – I don't know.
Yeah, he was just kind of there.
LeBron kind of just – at least he was on the court directing players as they
I think they want a championship experience or something like that. I don't know because a lot of teams actually like, didn't want him. So,
I mean –
it's funny. He's only going to be an assistant to Doc Rivers though.
Mm-hmm. So. And Doc will get things
– Doc's like, pretty – no matter who's Doc's a staff. Great coach, so –
yeah.
He'll
and they
figure
have the
things out.
Players, obviously.
And they on it. They obviously have the roster to do it. Things.
Reportedly, the Wizards owner asked President Barack Obama for help with the Wizards rebuild.
They're really desperate. I read on it. They also asked a bunch of other people, like at least like 20 or something. Yeah, 16 or 20. That's crazy.
Just
they're really desperate.
Don't know why he's asking Obama at all.
He's a Bulls fan. People, he'd probably screw them over.
I mean, if I were him and I'm like trying to help my team out, I'd just try to screw the other team out over. Yeah. Be like, yeah, you see, Bradley Beal, you know, trade him to the Celtics for like a second round pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
do that.
Yeah,
make a lot of sense.
And they have like no good people in that organization. So they'd be like, yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, great idea.
They have no one that would tell them anything better because they have no idea what they're doing.
I feel like they were just kind of asking random people.
They were.
They probably just put surveys out like, what should we do with our franchise?
Yeah, you should probably get some basketball execs on that one.
Yeah.
Instead of
like, random people off the street of DC.
Yeah. Doesn't make much sense at all. Carmelo Anthony has been working out with Nets players this offseason.
Interesting.
Is there any chance he gets on the Nets?
There's been rumors about him with the Nets and I think the Lakers.
It'd be an interesting locker room dynamic. Again.
That would be a really, really bad locker room if he joined the Nets.
Kyrie Irving and Carmelo.
What a presence that would be.
That would be interesting.
He'd be fighting over
those post-game interviews would be like just them arguing over who should have taken more shots.
Hey, Melo, where are my 30 shots?
That's hey, give me 30 shots.
30
I should have taken more. Makes 8 out of his 30 shots.
Carmelo,
I should have taken 40.
We're not
I want the ISO. Meanwhile, Kyrie's chucking up some acrobat, like, weird shot.
Some fadeaway three from half line.
Mm-hmm.
We're not salty. Anyway.
some sad news coming out of the Lakers organization. DeMarcus Cousins tore his ACL in a workout.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of sad to see that happen is, you know, you never want a player
so much injury,
especially of that caliber to get injured like that. And especially when he's been plagued with so many injuries prior to that.
Off the Achilles.
And it would have been pretty interesting to see how he would have performed with the Lakers in that squad.
Yeah.
It was a pretty interesting team moves reuniting of Cousins and Davis. So, yeah. Guess
it's unfortunate. He went from, like, the best center. Like, everyone knew he was the best center. To barely making a roster now.
Mm.
And then he just tears his ACL. It was really unfortunate, given the talent he had.
And he's trying to get that championship. Couldn't get it to the Warriors because Kawhi came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Kawhi's going to take it again.
And now he's trying to go to the Lakers to get a championship, and now he's injured. So.
And he's going to have to hope that LeBron and AD carry the Lakers because they have no one other than that. And
well, that would have happened anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just sad to see his career go down. I really liked DeMarcus Cousins before, like, all
although,
these
even without Cousins, they said they were going to play LeBron at the point guard. So you have LeBron,
Danny Green,
and then I don't even know who you put a small forward.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah, maybe. Sure, him. And then Kuzma and Davis at the 4 and 5.
Yeah.
interchangeable 4 and 5 because they're both power forwards. But, I mean.
Well, I wouldn't play Kuzma at center.
Yeah. You play Davis at the center, but it's, they can swap around in the offense. Doesn't matter. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Definitely the Lakers roster kind of getting more depleted.
Yeah. They had no depth going into it, and now that injury to someone who possibly would have been a starter really just kind of tears down the hopes of Lakers fans, even though they still think they're going to win it anyway.
You know, I thought the Clippers had the edge when they had Boogie still, but now without Boogie, I definitely am leaning towards the Clippers right now.
I was always leaning towards the Clippers, but, you know, those Lakers fans always think they're going to win every year. So,
You know,
they love that hype train.
The Spurs are going to retire Tony Parker's number 9, I believe, on November 11th.
That's fitting for him.
They already retired Manu. And did they retire? They retired Duncan.
And
Tony Parker.
Well, and Tony Parker completes the trio that they had. Yeah. It's going to be great. That's fitting.
Definitely deserving.
It's fitting.
They're the 2000s guys.
It's the fitting. Yeah, it's the end of an era for them.
Kind of the dynasty and they're the main three.
It's crazy how they have all retired and they still have a chance at a playoff.
The consistency with that franchise is just it's amazing how they can keep winning.
Yeah, and even with like not as talented of a roster as you would think to make a playoff,
you can never count them out
in the Western Conference. You never count them out because Pop is such a good coach and he knows what he's doing. Exactly. Really knows how to get the best out of some players, whether or not they're very talented, and just has scrappy players that play hard and play well.
I'm excited to see like what DeJounte Murray and players like Lonnie Walker are able to do next season.
Lonnie Walker looked good in summer league. So
yeah, he was great in summer league.
Reportedly, Nike tried to pay Zion Williamson while he was in high school. Now Zion signed with Jordan, which is owned by Nike, kind of offset of them. Yeah, Nike tried to pay him during high school, which would be.
I feel like a lot of companies are kind of trying to do this.
Yeah.
I mean,
I remember in the report, they also tried paying other players, like Romeo Langford and other ones. So, interesting to see.
You know, if a company is paying someone in high school, then they can't really get into college, kind of like thing. With, like,
I mean, it's not like it's illegal, but you just wouldn't be able to go to college. Yeah. It would kind of just screw up
all the scholarships and stuff. Like, he wouldn't be able to go to Duke if that stuff happened. Then, I guess he didn't, because it's just Nike tried to, but
yeah,
they just tried to get him early. They already got him, so they secured him, but they probably definitely paid more than they would have been.
Yeah. It was probably just like, we'll give you X amount of money if you promise to sign with Nike if you make it to the NBA.
Yeah. Jeremy Lin, he's hasn't been able to sign with any NBA teams at all.
Which is pretty sad. He's a pretty good piece that you could put on like anywhere.
I thought he'd be a serviceable backup, but no team's taking
him. Yeah, he could be a
pretty good six man type player. He was in Brooklyn.
I mean, he could go back. He could have gone back to Brooklyn. I mean, obviously, they don't really need him because they have Kyrie, but I mean, he could have gone to the Knicks. He's been there before.
Yeah, he's talking to the Beijing Ducks of the Chinese Basketball League. Just a lot of people are going overseas, it seems, right now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the role players type of.
Yeah.
Well, because they get more money and stardom.
And they're not getting as many contracts in the NBA, so they're heading overseas and they're getting way more money.
Yeah.
Way more guaranteed contracts, which is a good move.
Especially in China, those teams have a lot of money.
Yeah. Just more security and stuff. And it's a good move for them. If you've already you're satisfied with what you've done in the NBA, like Jeremy Lin got an NBA championship.
He got his championship. He's happy. It's not like he needs more money. Yeah. He's got plenty of
He's left contracts. His mark on the league. He can go to China and people will view him completely the same.
And he'll ball out.
Yeah.
And he'll get probably a lot more money than he would over here.
Yeah.
So
good luck to Jeremy.
Yeah, good luck to him. Dwight Howard, he signed with the Lakers to replace DeMarcus Cousins.
this rumor popped up right after DeMarcus Cousins got injured, and it went through quickly with the Grizzlies releasing him and waving him and he's agreed to sign with the Lakers.
Yeah, he did say he owed something to them after he left.
In 2013, yeah. the last time he was with the Lakers was pretty disappointing.
We destroyed him.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that. Like, don't do that.
The big three that pretty much fell apart because you had like 39-year-old Steve Nash and like destroyed Kobe.
And he should have worked. Yeah, theoretically, Howard should have worked, but he just didn't.
Yeah. It was his point, but hopefully he does better. Not the same Dwight, obviously, that he was back then.
Yeah.
But serviceable. He can still start at center, I think. But he's not going to carry the team, obviously.
Scott Vision's JaVale McGee. I can see him starting over JaVale.
Mm-hmm. I think they probably time.
Yeah, exactly. Probably get equal time no matter what. Mm-hmm.
All right, now on to Team USA and the disappointments that have come in the past 2 weeks with them. Team USA had a scrimmage against a bunch of G League players and low bench players in the NBA, and they lost 36-17. It was really disappointing in that scrimmage.
Like, well, notable even players if you're going to lose, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Like, they just got destroyed.
I didn't think this was something to get up about, though.
I guarantee you
they probably
weren't trying very hard.
They just came off a really hard practice too, so one of the reports said. So
they might have been tired. A lot of the starters probably weren't playing. So
yeah, some still of the notable not players
good,
were
but yeah.
Justin Anderson and Chianu Anuaku from bad team. The one with the G Leaguers.
Yeah.
Anuaku was on the summer league for the Celtics this year. Justin Anderson, I think, plays for the Hawks, I want to say.
I have no idea.
Maybe G League affiliate. I'm not sure. He came from Virginia, I think. He was good in college.
But he played for the Rockets for a bit.
Yeah, he's just not that good. The team was just bad. There's players from the South Bay Lakers and stuff on that.
He is on the
was
Hawks.
Not a good
job, Billy.
Bucks? Oh, I said Hawks.
Yeah, you did say Hawks. He is on the Hawks.
Oh, he
you
is? Said, okay.
Yeah. Who last played for the Hawks? One. I have no clue who he is now.
Free agency?
Yep. Beating Team USA, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much showing out. All right, anyways. After that, PJ Tucker withdrew from Team USA after being one of the more vocal guys about it. It wasn't his fault, really, though, because it was because of an ankle injury, so
yeah,
he was kind of one of the defensive leaders on Team USA, but ankle injury, hopefully he gets better on that, but
yeah.
De'Aaron Fox withdrew for another reason. He withdrew from Team USA to focus on making the playoffs, although we are in August.
And he's on the Kings, yeah. So... And in a even more stacked Western Conference than normal.
Kings
they could, but they'll be like sixth seed at the highest.
Yeah, but they have high hopes because they finished ninth last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully they can do something, but I don't see this as...
I still think if you're a young guy like
you
Aaron
should be
Fox,
fine.
You might... Like, it can't hurt to play Team USA. Yeah. You've never done it before. It's a good experience.
I thought he was going to be able to learn something from, like, Kemba Walker and other people. Who
and Pop.
Guards in front of him.
Yeah.
But
as well as having Greg Popovich as a coach.
Exactly. I feel like now some of the players are seeing that team's getting so depleted that they don't want to be the team that finally, like, loses.
They just don't want to be a part of it, yeah.
They don't want to be a part of it. They don't want it on their resume, so that's why they're all kind of leaving. Like, De'Aaron... I feel like this isn't a good reason to like leave the team at all. So I think he's just trying to.
True, but that's the one everyone used.
Yeah,
everyone said focusing on the season.
Focusing on next season.
Focusing on the season. Every single person.
Hopefully, nobody drops out before the final cut, which I don't think they've made yet.
I think they already made it because
yeah, I think they already
they have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have.
Well, and the captains for Team USA are Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, and Donovan Mitchell.
Some people said that Marcus Smart was on the bubble, but he's a captain, so
clearly Pop
not
likes likes his style of playing, his hustle. So,
well, yeah, he's a really good,
good
competitor.
Leader.
Yeah,
good person,
defensive
in the locker
leader.
Room.
Yeah,
so,
he could have been cut, but Kuzma got injured, so the roster finalized.
Yeah, and Kuzma isn't on the team anymore
the
either
full,
because of an ankle injury. So,
yeah, the full team is Harrison Barnes, Jalen Brown, Joe Harris, Brook Lopez, Chris Middleton, Donovan Mitchell, Mason Plumlee, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Miles Turner, Kemba Walker, and Derek White.
Miles Turner is pretty good.
I honestly thought Mason Plumlee was going to get cut.
Yeah, same.
Then he just made it by default.
Mason Plumlee's like they one of the guys that are like, why is he here?
Because we don't have power forward to centers anymore.
Yeah. I bet. I still think they were better ones.
We have like shooting guards.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's pretty much just put Big Duke Man in the post. Mason Plumlee.
Oh.
No.
I don't think he's going to play too much. Miles Turner's probably going to start center.
Yeah.
Miles
starting lineup will probably be.
He's good.
Miles
Turner. Kemba.
Miles,
Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then
Tatum. Lopez. And Turner. That'd be a good lineup.
Mm. And then Middleton and Smart coming off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, you could play Brook Lopez at center, probably would, but he's serviceable and movable. And, like, he can play at power forward, I think.
Yeah.
Australia beat Team USA for the first time in the history of the matchup, 98-94. Patty Mills for Team Australia scored 30 points on Kemba Walker. Kemba returned that with only 22. Joe Harris missed a wide-open, possible game-tying three at the end.
And this game broke the 78-game winning streak the USA had, Team USA had.
And Australia finally broke through, something that people have been saying for a long time. They are one of the best foreign countries kind of producing players.
They have people like Joe Ingles. And
I'm assuming Ben Simmons is not playing for them.
No, I don't think so.
Why? Focusing on the season.
Yep. This is how it is. They got Matthew Dellavedova, though, so they're clear.
Oh, okay.
They're good. They're completely fine.
Team USA should be scared right now.
Mo Wagner was cut from the German national team.
I mean, he's an NBA player, so I don't know if this is the best thing.
I'm
not really sure how that happened, but
he's really the only notable German player that I think I know that's in the NBA because Dirk retired. So
it's kind of embarrassing.
I don't understand that.
How he got cut.
He was great in college.
National basketball. Yeah.
That's rough on him.
All right. They've been winning.
They've won their three games that they've played so far, so it looks decent.
A lot of them is decent, but...
They have Joshiko Sabo, Andreas Sefer...
Yeah, move over, Mo Wagner.
Oh, Paul Zipser. I know Paul Zipser on the Bulls.
He's just a switch dude. He just shoots sometimes. I don't know.
They got Paul Zipser. That's what they got.
That's about it.
He's like Isaiah Hartenstein.
A fringe Bulls player, though.
I think he was like a G-leaguer. Oh, Dennis Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder.
But I don't think he's on the team.
Focus on next season.
Isaac Bonga. We have Isaac Bonga.
That's a winner.
And a bunch of other guys. Oh, no, Dennis Schroeder's here. He's here.
Yeah,
let's go.
He's playing for the team.
Isaac Bonga has a pink diamond. They're easily going to win.
Yeah.
They got Schroeder and Isaac Bonga and Paul Zipser, so they're going to win the World Cup.
Yep.
That's over.
That's...
Unless they'll have a Dover Drops 50 on him. I mean...
Delvedove is pretty hard to get back.
I still don't see how Mo Wagner got cut from that.
He's like the only NBA player.
He should have focused on the season.
He's really their only big man that's from the NBA. It's not like he's a guard where you have solid players there.
Isaac Bonga.
So, yeah. On to soccer now, I guess.
Yeah, on to soccer.
After that.
Monaco signed... highly touted Sevilla forward Ben Yedder for $45 million. He scored 70 goals in his last three seasons. He's been really good.
Isn't he like 27 or something like that?
Yeah, he's like 27, 28. He's in his prime.
He's a great player. It's a pretty decent price for a player of that talent.
Especially in today's era. I don't think he would have gone for that earlier. I didn't think of him as that. But if you look at the market, he's probably worth that. He's been a good player.
He's been a really good player in the Liga. He's been in like the race for top scorer a couple times.
Yeah. He hasn't been good enough to make the French national team, but he's a decent player. He's a very decent player.
Yeah. Felipe Coutinho to join Bayern Munich on a 1-year loan, I believe. So that happened.
Bayern have the option to buy at the end of the year too.
And I guess just trying to make space for Neymar. I don't even know what's happening there. That's just a whole...
He barely played out season. They just, I don't know, they weren't getting along enough.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay, but this wasn't enough team for him, and they just took him out the
box. Which is surprising, because Messi, Suarez are both injured, and Griezmann is, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, he competes with the midfielders, and they have like a bunch of one. They just signed Frankie De Jong this summer. So
very true,
I guess they
true.
Just were just like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because he was a really good player at Liverpool.
Very talented.
Hopefully he can come back to form at Bayern. Probably will. We probably should replace James. Not, well, we didn't play him, but this is going to be another loan to attacking midfielder
yeah.
to have. Intriguing what they're doing. So Borussia Dortmund, one of their front office guys, said that he expects Sancho to leave within like the next year or so. Although this year, they're probably going to play there. And he's had a very good start to the season for Bayern. For Dortmund, he's had a really good start to the season. Coming off last season when he had a great season, he scored over 10 goals and 10 assists, had over 10 assists, which is a really great accomplishment, especially for a player of his age. So, and all Dortmund obviously hope to win the league season, and they're off to a great start with 2 wins in 2 games. He scored in their last game against Cologne in their 3-1 win. He's just a great player, and I hope he goes to a good team, another good team that will play him enough like Dortmund did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chelsea legend Ashley Cole retires at the age of 38.
I didn't know who he was playing in the last few years.
Yeah.
But he had a great career in his prime.
Yeah, yeah. He was a good
player.
He played
for Arsenal and Chelsea, and he won some stuff, and he was a starter. Yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lukaku, who I don't even know why this is important, but there was speculation that he was overweight, along with Eden Hazard, and they both decided to go on social media and show off their six-packs. So good for them. I don't think it really matters, but it's okay.
We're currently going over the person who put this on our scripts, Billy.
Why? Yeah, Billy, what?
I'm defending him.
But he left, man. You don't defend him anymore. He's gone.
There was no reason to defend him. He was never good
on
the menu.
Well, he was good at Everton, though.
I wish
he was.
I wish him luck.
Okay, that's respectable.
Yes.
Also relating to Manu. Alexis Sanchez reportedly agreed to an injured loan, although I don't think he's gone there yet.
I mean, he was really good at Arsenal, and then he was really bad at Man U and did not do anything well at all since. Which is very good for Arsenal. They really won that swap with Mkhitaryan, and I think they got money on top of Mkhitaryan as well.
He's reported to go to Inter suit on that loan deal. Which is unfortunate. If you're a winger, don't go to Man U. Mkhitaryan didn't have a good time there. Di Maria didn't have a good time there. Sanchez didn't have a good time there.
Ronaldo's, I feel.
Martial didn't last season. He's coming back, though. We're all good.
Ronaldo's the only one.
But he wasn't under their current weird managers. Ferguson.
And he's legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Barcelona are expected to make a bid for Neymar.
No surprise.
Not really surprised with that.
The last deal was apparently a 1-year loan deal with an obligation to buy next season, but I'm pretty sure PSG shot that down, so we're going to see. So the transfer window is closing soon for the Spanish, Spanish league. So,
and a very surprising deal. I was pretty taken back by seeing this. Juventus offered Paulo Dybala plus $110 million.
These are reports, and I hope these aren't true.
It's just a report.
If I'm the baller, that's just revolting to me.
But that's like...
That's like, you think me plus $110 million are only worth like Neymar. Like, just Neymar. Like, that's insulting.
Dybala himself is worth like a lot, because he's a young player still developing, and he's really good.
You were asking a bunch for him last season.
Yeah.
So I don't, and he had a pretty bad season last season, but he wasn't awful. He's still a really talented player. Just what he didn't fit in their system.
He just didn't fit in the lineup.
But this season, they've clearly been like out to sell him. I don't know why.
Even though in the
they got a new
preseason
game
he scored an absolute banger of a goal.
Yeah.
And And his celebration showed that he was here to stay. He wants to stay.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. The fans
want him to stay, and so does he.
I don't know why Juventus is so out to get rid of him. Yeah,
they're so set on selling.
Because he's not like a bad presence in the locker room either. He seems like a good guy. It doesn't make sense. They
played Higuain instead of Emil Rossi or something.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess Higuain and Ronaldo used to play together, but still, come on. Yeah.
I remember
that. The ball is better.
Those are the good Madrid days.
Yeah, Madrid does not longer have those, really.
Then they sold Higuain in favor of Benzema.
Yeah.
That was a bad move. Anyway.
Real Madrid loan out their youngster from Japan, Kubo, to Mallorca.
Mallorca, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good move for his development.
Yeah, I just wanted to get him more minutes in the...
In the same league, yeah.
In the same league against the same type of talent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a really good player. There's been reports he was performing really well in training with Real. And
I mean, I can imagine.
I'm excited to see how he comes up.
He clearly has talent.
Very talented.
Dribbling. And he's a special player. Hopefully something comes of him.
More news from Madrid. They were up for most of the game and then gave up an 86th-minute equalizer. To who did they play?
Let's find out.
Valladolid.
Valladolid. I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce that. But they gave up.
They took the lead in the 82nd minute, and then 6 minutes later they conceded again.
I thought they were scored earlier in the game.
They had a decent game, the whole game, but then.
Yeah, it's always bad when you see that your team gives up a goal.
They had 67% of the possession, had 22 shots to their 9, 4 of them targeted to their 2, and they had way more passes and a higher accuracy, and they still only tied. So Zidane, after the game, said that they deserved to win, and they probably did, but that's just not how this sport works.
Even if you do deserve to win,
yeah.
Giving up an 86-minute equalizer is just not something you expect or want
and
to
so
accept.
So far, they're getting lucky because Barcelona lost their first game. It's Taiwan, their second, and are currently tied with Betis. So, like, they're being lucky right now. They have to take advantage right now and get top of the league.
And as well as that game, James Rodriguez started that game, which is the first game he's, like, played for Real Madrid in God knows how long.
Yeah.
He's always been, like, with Real. He's just been loaned out plenty of times and never really fit in the system, even though he's a quality player, very talented, and should have been
He was loaned out 2 years ago to Bayern for the 2-year deal and finally ended.
And he played pretty well there.
Yeah. He played
had
well
a couple of injuries.
It's what happens in like every club. He played really well the first season and second season. The manager just decides not to play him. They just got rid of him. They just didn't play him the second season that much. You know, he plays well when they play him.
Yeah. Hard to understand what goes through the manager's minds when they do that, but is what it is, I guess. And then Dortmund and Bayern both won. Lewandowski scored a hat trick.
Yep.
So
and they went over Hertha Berlin.
He's still playing really well. Doesn't matter how old he is, he's performing he should be.
Up numbers.
He said he's close to a contract extension at 30, probably be like maybe 3 year. He's a striker, so he doesn't have to be too athletic, he doesn't have to have the pace to beat wingers.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting how the German league ends. Last season, Dortmund finished in second to a very close race with Bayern.
I think Dortmund might actually end up winning the league this year instead of Bayern, which has been a very long time since Bayern actually didn't win the league.
Yeah. In Premier League, Liverpool beat Arsenal 3-1 with 2 goals from a fantastic Mo Salah and another goal added by Joel Matip. Arsenal scored their only goal through Lucas Torreira. It was a good game. Arsenal were on the back foot most of the game, but they had some cut chances and they just missed them.
Yeah, Arsenal really struggling with their defending.
Yeah, David Luiz gave a penalty and then let Mo Salah breeze by him for the third goal.
And Man United lost to Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace have a history of upsetting big teams.
Yeah.
So,
any big team that went against an upset because they're bottom feeders.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel James scored a really good equalizer, and then De Gea just threw it away like always.
They won really late, and De Gea let it in, and then your post, and we should have.
Yeah, and Manchester City beat Bournemouth 3-1 today, and that's about it. We'll see you in the next segment.
Hello and welcome back, and we're going on to the MLB. So Chris Sale recently was the fastest pitcher to ever reach 2,000 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's had a bad season overall, but he's still like been good for stretches, and he's still a great pitcher. So
he's been able to get strikeouts, but
a lot of people are trying.
He's also been giving up a lot of runs.
Yeah, but that's mainly
this has been his bad season.
Yeah,
this is really the only bright spot that we've seen through that. Adding on to that, Chris Sale is on the injured list, and he's expected to miss 6-plus weeks, possibly the rest of the season if the Red Sox don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which looks very bad right now. I mean, despite having a winning record, it's not looking good for them.
It was one of the alternatives, or like one of the things he could have faced was a Tommy John surgery, which would have made him miss that whole next season. So this was a good alternative for him.
Mm.
Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez became the fastest to 100 home runs games-wise in the AL with the home run in one of the last few games. Yep. All right.
The A's signed a former Mets pitcher, Matt Harvey. Used to be one of the best pitchers in the MLB, one of the best young players then. Fell off because of injuries and surgeries and all this, and went to the Angels. He spent some time with the Angels, got released, and now he's with the A's. Hopefully the A's have some use for him. I really like him to come back to
form. A lot of pitchers are having trouble just because of
just all the surgeries and stuff are really killing them. And I really would like to see him come back to form, but I don't ever think we're going to see him back as the ace that he once was. Happy to see him still in the league.
The Padres' young star, Fernando Tatis Jr., is out for the season with a back injury.
Not really, it's bad, obviously, because he's a young player and you want him to be healthy, but I don't think it's really going to affect him in the long run, and the Padres weren't really going to make the playoffs at this point.
I just think that he was probably going to win the Rookie of the Year. They just got handed over to Pete Alonso with that.
Mm. He played great for when he was healthy. They definitely have a good core there.
I'm not saying that Pete Alonso didn't deserve it. Like, he does deserve it, but just Tatis deserved it more, I felt, because of his defensive play, and ability to do other things besides.
He's an all-around type of guy.
He was on the base. He was, very good on the bases. He was playing good defense and everything.
He's a great player so far. Aaron Boone, he's open to the MLB adding a mercy rule. What do you guys think about that one?
I mean, I understand some of it. Like, it would end games that don't really need to be extended.
Because
maybe not tire out pitchers. Mm-hmm. We all know in blowouts, they just use, position players because they just give up. So I understand it. But on the other end, it just wouldn't – if you're having, a good batting night, you just want to get another home run.
Yeah.
Or it's always kind of sometimes fun looking at blowouts and stuff.
I mean, also, I think
– the mercy rule should be, if you're up, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think it probably presents itself, because fans kind of – because
by the time you're up by 10, a lot of the fans have already left the stadium anyway, so there's no point in keeping them playing because there's no one still there.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah,
hitters could be disrupted.
Yeah.
So I feel like the players might – I don't know how they'd feel about that, but if someone has a no-hitter going for six innings and then they have the mercy rule, it's like
– I definitely understand
maybe have certain exceptions. Like if there's a no-hitter going on, you keep playing.
Yeah.
Or if
I definitely understand it. It's just professional baseball, and it doesn't seem like that's where you put a mercy rule.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like professional sports should have a forfeit option.
It seems like it could be experimented
in the future. Maybe make it optional for mercy rule. Make it something that exists in the minor leagues. And then if there's a major league game and you're up by, say, 15, 20 runs, the two coaches will confer and decide whether they want to keep playing or not. It's up to the coaches.
Or they can make it according to the fans' sign. They can
vote
on it. Because they're the ones buying the tickets.
There is no benefit to playing through when you're, up 15. But sometimes it's just, you want to continue playing because, that's how it should go.
You just – I think you let the – you put, a survey out on the board, have all the people that are still in the stadium decide whether they want the game to keep going or not. And then the coaches obviously confer, and if they're like, whatever, if the fans want to keep playing, let's keep going, or whatever.
It's definitely an interesting prospect.
Especially like if it was the World Series. Oh, it's like game seven of the World Series and you're in a mercy rule.
There should be certain situations where
it shouldn't be playoffs. Because playoffs,
it should only come into effect in the regular season.
No, it should not be playoffs because playoffs are supposed to be good teams. So if a team's getting blown out, that's an embarrassment and that should be
completely played out. They just deserve to be completely played out and embarrassed.
That's completely
natural. And they should have a chance at, like, if it's game seven, even if you are getting blown out, you should at least have a teeny chance at a comeback because it's a very meaningful game, obviously.
Well, I just don't think it should exist in the playoffs at all.
Yeah, that's what I totally agree.
Because if you're in the playoffs and you're losing by like 10 or something, you deserve it. Mm.
And, I mean, there's still always the prospect of a comeback.
Yeah.
Like, because those are pretty interesting to watch. Those are always exciting. 28-3.
And even if you're getting blown out, you can still watch on the losing team. They still have talented players.
Yeah.
Phillies pitcher Jake Arrieta, he's out for the season. He's having surgery to remove bone spur in his right elbow.
That's unfortunate for him.
Yeah.
The injuries they've had pitching.
Phillies are trying to make a playoff push right now for the wild card. They are over 500, which is good for them. Arrieta has had a so-so season so far. But I think that does push them back a little bit.
But I bet that's all they could ask for with their pitching problems from their injuries and everything. They just need a so-so season because – yeah, they've been more reliant on their offense. No, their bullpen has been injured too, like David Robinson and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they just need pitching help, and that's unfortunate for them.
Ronald Acuna has completed a 30-30 season.
He could still push for 40-40. It's not the most likely, based on, I'm thinking he probably goes like 45 maybe, and like 30 something, because I don't think he's reaching 40 stolen bases. Because he was stealing a really high rate and then just slowed down.
And we are at the tail end of the season.
Yeah, it took him a few, like, at least like 8 games to get that 30th base from 29.
Pete Alonso, he beat the NL record for homers in a season.
Yeah, he's
already
41 now. So he has a record at the AL and all-time one that was set only 2 years ago by Aaron Judge with 52. So he's definitely in the running.
Yeah. He's doing really, really good for right now.
Yeah.
Especially for playing for the Mets.
Made some people angry there.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez, the Cleveland Indians third baseman, he was added to the 10-day IL for the Indians with a wrist injury.
I just highlighted this because it's unfortunate because they're still like 1.5 games behind the Twins, and they're still trying to make that push, and he's had a great second half of the season. So they need that kind of help in batting power.
Yeah, really unfortunate for them. Obviously, probably their best hitter, Francisco Lindor, also there.
But, yeah.
Just really unfortunate. All right, now on to some NFL. So the preseason has started. Football is everywhere. College football starting. The XFL is starting to start up. And we have also NFL news from the preseason. So Danny Etling, who a former quarterback, seventh-round pick to the New England Patriots, they converted him to a wide receiver because they brought in Jarrett Stidham. And Stidham, obviously,
better
quarterback. Played at Auburn, so that kind of explains that one. Etling, he was released by the Patriots after a failed wide receiver experiment trying to turn him into Julian Edelman, and he is signed with the Falcons. The Falcons,
are they going to use him as a quarterback or a wide receiver? Do we know yet?
We don't know. Kurt Benkert, I think, is hurt for the Falcons, so they might try him out quarterback, but also wide receiver help could be needed, like in the slot or something like that.
They could just put him out there for some trick plays.
Yeah, they could do that. A lot of the quarterbacks,
or maybe they're hoping that Calvin Ridley has a breakout year.
Yeah,
because he's a talented wide receiver. Yeah.
It's always good to have a player who has two skill sets. You know, we don't really know a lot about Etling because he only got targeted once in the preseason game, then got cut. So we don't know a ton about him at wide receiver, but the Falcons see something in him. So, and he hasn't been cut yet. So if he makes the roster, then there's obviously something there.
Yeah.
Chargers safety Derwin James, he's in a boot. He's expected to miss significant amounts of time. The exact amount, 3 months, which is really bad for the Chargers, who are right now, Melvin Gordon's holding out. Now you have their best player on defense. He's injured. Phillip Rivers is getting older. This is their year, and a lot of this stuff is
This would have been their year to pull stuff together and actually get somewhere. But
Mike Williams is developing at wide receiver. Keenan Allen, obviously, is a beast.
You still have Austin Eckler as a possible running back option who did do pretty good filling in for Gordon last season. But, you know, Derwin James is the best player on that defense, and now he's gone. So your secondary is obviously depleted big time after that. So really not good for the Chargers. And as we said, Melvin Gordon's holdout is actually expected to extend into the regular season. So not looking good at all for the Chargers. You know, they have a really good offense, and I really would like to see them play to their full ability. You know, a lot of their players are getting in their prime. They're getting in that window, and they really have a chance to challenge anybody in the AFC, especially the Patriots.
Yeah, and it's kind of
better than they did in the playoffs last year.
It's kind of upsetting to see that one of their best players and a very key player for them holding out for such a stupid reason as money, as you clearly do not need more of it when you're an NFL player at that level and you have plenty of it. So
it's the Le'Veon Bell effect.
It's so dumb.
You know, I don't think Melvin's going to do a Le'Veon. He probably will come back probably like around
week four, week five.
The farthest I would see it going like week eight. But he'll be back if they do make the playoffs. He'll be there, and I think he'll make a big difference. But right now, the Chargers aren't budging with the money, and it's not looking good. So he could get traded. You know, you're looking at the Texans right now. Lamar Miller
tearing his
ACL last night. So Melvin Gordon and Deshaun Watson would be amazing.
Texans would be pretty desperate too, because that's their starting running back gone. They have
They have Duke Johnson. They did trade for him.
They don't have too much depth though at that position. Yeah. So it could be something that they. Chargers could get a very good trade out of.
I've seen the Texans as pretty good landing spot for Melvin Gordon. And now after that injury, I mean, the window is open for him. Josh Gordon was finally reinstated by the NFL after being suspended indefinitely.
And after one player comes back to the Patriots, another goes.
Yeah, so Edelman was also cleared for practice as well.
Ryan Allen, the punter for a very long stint for the Patriots, was released. And I think, was it Champ Bailey?
Champ Bailey was a corner for the Broncos. He got inducted to the Hall of Fame, so congrats to him.
He's a rookie, right?
Yeah, Jake Bailey from Stanford, right-footed punter, fifth-round pick.
He seemed pretty good in the preseason games.
Yeah, he's been all right. Hang time supposedly is really good.
He took a kickoff as well in the first game. He took the opening kickoff.
He's a place kicker. He can do that as well.
Yeah. Seems pretty good, especially with Gostkowski kind of not.
His holds, though, were very bad in the preseason game. The last preseason game, Gostkowski missed an extra point because he turned the ball and it was laces right to him. His holding, he really needs to work on that. Ryan Allen was a perfect holder, and now we got Jake Bailey doing that. So not most ideal. He really needs to get that down if he wants to, because now Ryan Allen's out. He's definitely going to find a job because he's a great punter. But Jake Bailey, he's good at punting. He's good kickoff, but just he needs to work on holding because if that's not happening, then
especially with Stephen Gostkowski not performing well, even when the laces are pointing away from him. Now that the laces are pointing towards him and making the kick even harder, I don't even want to know how bad it's going to be.
Not good.
I mean, yes, he's top-tier kicker, very talented, very good, but, I mean, he is kind of starting to fall off, and it's not looking good.
Yeah, just a little more inconsistent now. Former Jets quarterback and many other team quarterback, Josh McCown, he unretired to join the Eagles after some injuries to their backup quarterbacks. He's going to be the main guy, most likely. Nate Sudfeld, one of the quarterbacks who went down with injury, and Cody Kessler as well. So McCown now coming in to join the Eagles. He spent like 2 months in retirement. Now he's coming back out of retirement. So hope he enjoyed that, but that was really short. Jimmy Garoppolo, he was picked off on his first drive back from an ACL injury. Not good for him at all.
Yeah, kind of disappointing. I really liked him when he was on the Patriots. Very promising looking player. I was kind of puzzled when they traded him for just a second round pick, as he has a big upside, and I'd love to see him become a good player. But
what?
Yeah, so.
I said stop it. Hello, we're back. Sorry we had an interruption in the audio, but we're back with some NFL, and we're going to finish up with this football. All right, so Jimmy Garoppolo, he was picked off on his first drive back since his ACL injury last year. That took him out for the rest of the season. It was on his second throw. He did not have a good preseason showing.
No. Kind of disappointing. He had a good upside. He was very talented with the Patriots. Love to see him. He's a really good quarterback, but
there was also reports he wasn't doing good in training camp at all, really.
I think he'll be able to come back. He might be a little slow this year, but I think next year he'll be back to where he was.
It's definitely tough to come off of ACL, especially as a quarterback.
ACLs are a tough injury.
It's tough. Patrick Chung, the Patriots, strong safety. He was
indicted
for cocaine.
Yeah.
And cocaine. They found cocaine in his house.
I think there was something happening at his house. I think there was like a party or something like that happening. I don't know. We don't know if he was actually there when the police went into the house.
They were, but we know that there were break people. And enter.
I think there was some people there. I don't know if it was like family or friends or a party or whatever. And they had some reason to get a warrant, break and enter. They went in, they found cocaine, and Pat Chung is pretty screwed.
He's not supposed to get suspended, though.
He will be able to play this year out, possibly, because they might not hold the trial until next season. Mm. But it's still, like, if he does get tried and convicted for it, it's, I think, 7 years.
3 to 7.
Yeah, years. So that's not good.
It is his
first offense, so that is helpful, but it's still not.
Yeah, he's going to be looming on his head as the season goes, which is unfortunate.
He is an older player, though, so, you know, Patriots might be looking to replace him in the future anyways.
Yeah, I mean, our secondary is looking pretty strong, kind of.
Yeah, there is
pretty good, but.
There is a good cornerback depth, obviously. There's Daron Harmon still at safety, so you still have him and McCourty going. Yeah. So
you still have a decent starting lineup there, but it's just, I don't know.
Disappointing. I hope Chung didn't do it.
He's
but,
very good at making tackles, getting into the backfield, stopping runs from getting anywhere far, which is what Patriots kind of struggle with sometimes.
All right. Case Keenum, he was named the starting quarterback for the Redskins over the rookie Dwayne Haskins. I think this is a good move because Haskins, you know, he
I don't think he was showing very well in preseason. Unlike what's his name? Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, which is a
who
surprise.
Surprisingly decided to show up
He's doing really well for the Giants.
So no one thought it would be a good pick, but there you go. Yeah. It turned out to be quite good.
Anyways, I like Keenum a lot more than other people. I don't think the Redskins are going to be anything special this year. I think Keenum's kind of just a bridge player for Haskins. Haskins in his second season, just under Keenum in his second season, I think he'll get the starter job. But I think it's good to sit him back, just let him kind of relax. You know, he only started one season in college, so he definitely needs time to develop into the pros. He needs time in college to develop.
Yeah.
So sitting him kind of behind there, letting him learn for a season, then put him in the second season, I think is a perfect plan, especially in a tough division like the NFC East, where you're facing a lot of good defenses like the Cowboys and the Eagles.
The Redskins have struggled with the quarterback position, especially with injuries, with Robert Griffin III and now Alex Smith, who probably doesn't have a career anymore due to that injury, which is sad. He was a great quarterback. Hate to see him go. Very talented. And then you just hope they don't have to deal with any more of that. Because they've had good teams put together before, and they just lost their quarterback and lost it from there.
Next up, we have the Antonio Brown helmet saga. So, as you know, there's new rules this year that there's only certain helmets that are approved. Antonio Brown's helmet that he's been wearing for the past 9 years, not approved. He can't wear it no more.
And he quite mad about this. He
made a scene about it.
He made
so far he's filed.
He's been Antonio Brown about it. In 2019, Antonio Brown, at least.
Yeah, lots of drama about that. I think he's filed two.
He painted his old helmet to look like a Raiders helmet.
And he then lost both of them.
Yeah, he kept going back.
Yeah.
With he's complained. He said that Rodgers and Brady didn't have to follow the rules. Then team and he left practice, and then the team equipment manager showed a picture of Rodgers wearing the helmet, and he came back and acting like nothing happened. I mean,
yeah. So reportedly, he came in with the old helmet. They told him you can't wear that. He wore the new helmet for the rest of practice, and then
it seems like it went pretty well.
He wore it. And then days later, he came back with a poorly painted old helmet.
Yeah.
His old helmet, poorly painted it over again. They were like, what the heck are you doing? They took it. And then he asked for it, and they didn't get back to him, and he didn't go to practice. And he also froze his feet in between there.
Yeah, and got frostbite. So
filed the grievance, lost that.
Filed another grievance, lost that as well.
Just today, you lost that one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And
John, he's finally back at practice after Mayock and John said get back at practice and wear the new helmet.
It does look like he's found a helmet that he will wear because I don't think he's just going
to
retire over a dumb helmet. Hey, and probably just millimeters of like vision lost.
Yeah.
Literally like millimeters.
It doesn't matter. Like switching helmets, it's not that big of a deal. He's just
just salty.
Yeah.
And
he has a huge ego now all of a sudden.
Yeah, Brady said he didn't like love the helmet switch, but he didn't make a big scene about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brady went out there, he said he's not a big fan of the new helmet. He likes his old one, but he's not gonna
practice.
He's not retiring over it.
It's not like he's walking off the practice field. Chucking the ball in the woods there. Come on. Antonio Brown, you gotta grow up, man.
Yeah, you gotta grow up. You're acting like a 4-year-old.
And
child.
You're on Hard Knocks too. You're just showing it to the whole world.
Yeah, you look
you're
like
voluntarily
you're a 4-year-old that got candy taken away from. It's ridiculous.
Come on, stop it. Lamar Miller, he tore his ACL. We already pretty much talked a little about this, but it's kind of disappointing. And the big news from last night, most shocking news that I've maybe ever seen in my life from sports world is Andrew Luck, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, shockingly retired at the age of 29, reportedly because of injuries. He quoted to said it was the hardest decision of his life, and he
claimed
retired.
To have a lack of joy due to multiple injuries and sitting out and missing so many games. Very good quarterback. You hate to see him go. Mm-hmm. But
so many injuries. It's really disappointing. The Colts never put an offensive line in front of them until they put Quentin Nelson. That's about it.
I can see how Andrew Luck would not like it. It's rough. You're a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And in the couple games he played last season, he was really good. He performed fantastically. And it's just you hate to see him retire like this because of injuries. There's a lot of people who drafted him for fantasy football literally 2 minutes before he retired. And And one thing you hate to see about it is the Colts fans booed him off the
field.
Which
is so disrespectful.
That's not acceptable.
The
organization
literally put – it's not his fault that he's retiring, really.
It's a personal decision. And
you
he got injured, and it's basically the organization's
fault
for not
giving
him an offensive
line. He gave up his body for the organization.
Line.
He gave up his body for the fans.
Like, he's given everything, his whole career for that franchise, and you treat
him
with that.
Field. That's how
like, it's just
the
not,
last time he's on the field, that's the last time he showed it. It's just horrible. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the fans right now are regretting their decision to do that, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just so disrespectful. I wish Andrew Luck the best in his retirement, obviously. You know, he's gone so many injuries. The offensive line, biggest problem. Organization never put an offensive line in front of him. Caused all those injuries. You know, if he just had an offensive line, I'm sure he would still be in this league because really why he retired is the injuries. And because of those injuries, just playing through all the pain and stuff, lost his joy in the whole entire game.
Yeah.
He also said that it was hard about the
once you lose the love for the once you lose the love for the game you play, it's pretty hard to continue playing.
I mean, just the best of luck off the field with his retirement now.
I'm sure he'll do great things with people and community and He seemed to be pretty good with community service, giving back to the community.
Great guy.
He's a really good guy, so I wish him the best of luck in his retirement. Mm-hmm. And,
So onto the XFL, which is coming out in 2020, very, very soon after the NFL season. Hopefully it won't be like the AAF and shut down after a few weeks. But, the XFL, they already released their cities a few months ago, but now they finally released the names and logos. The names are the Tampa Bay Vipers, the Seattle Dragons, the LA Wildcats, Houston Roughnecks, St. Louis Battlehawks, the New York Guardians, and the DC Defenders, also the Dallas Renegades.
They actually have some pretty cool logos, and if I'm going to be completely honest, it does look like a whole bunch of online teams put together for Madden.
Madden relocation franchise.
Especially with the names.
It looks exactly like you are playing Madden franchise, or like a My League in Madden.
My favorite logo right now is definitely the Houston Roughnecks, just because it looks like the old Houston Oilers.
Yeah, I was thinking that
as well. I really like that.
The Renegades logo is pretty cool as well. Yeah. Simple but sinister.
I like the Battlehawks as well.
Yes.
Another team coming back to St. Louis. I really like that.
Yeah, St. Louis does deserve their football.
They deserve it. As for LA Wildcats, really simple logo.
Yeah.
A lot of LA teams have logos like that.
Yeah,
LA really just basically all their logos is just the letters LA. So not much to say about that.
No.
Vipers is,
it's all right. I don't see the reason to put a team in Seattle necessarily.
Yeah, they already have the Seahawks.
They already have a team. Are gonna turn out for the Dragons. Probably not going to have very good turnouts, but
I would have liked to see one of their teams go to like Toronto or something, just to kind of expand.
That would be interesting.
Mm, because I think there's more demand now with the CFL kind of growing and stuff, and the NFL's looking to expand out there. So if you got the first team out there, you kind of got the upper hands, and that could possibly provide the league more longevity.
Yeah.
So.
And they made their first signing for the XFL, Landry Jones.
Yeah, former Pittsburgh Steelers backup quarterback. He did play some starts when Ben Roethlisberger was injured. Decent quarterback.
He's actually pretty good. It's pretty good player for the XFL.
Not in the NFL, really.
Yeah, he's a good player who could be on an NFL roster as a backup, but it's kind of neat to see someone of that talent level go to the XFL, try it out, kind of like some of the NBA role players that have decided to go overseas. Yeah.
And I think
try and acquire more stardom and more appreciation.
If this league does start to get going and they do offer enough money, I think a lot of prospects might actually hop over, kind of like
instead of being just underappreciated backups, they get to be appreciated in XFL.
Like the USFL back in the 80s with Doug Flutie and Steve Young and stuff. Like that, I think it could turn into something like that. But hopefully, I want the XFL to stick around because I like having two leagues that you can watch two separate seasons. It's just really enjoyable because you have football pretty much year round. And I know a lot of people would enjoy that, and I do enjoy that. Now on to college football, the first regular season games, week zero. There was two games. It was Hawaii and Arizona, but the main game was Florida and Miami.
Big rivalry.
Big rivalry returning. Five members of the Gators 2019 recruiting class left without playing a snap before this, so it was they haven't had a good recruiting class. Their coaching and all that stuff has been a little shaky. Before this game, Tate Martell, obviously, he lost the QB job to Jaren Williams, and he shifted over to wide receiver. They played him with something interesting. Yeah, he switched to wide receiver.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so he's played some interesting snaps in the game, and he was used as kind of a gadget-type player. Before the game, Kane's defensive back, DJ Ivey, was suspended before kickoff, and four Gators players were suspended before kickoff for violations of team rules. So
interesting.
Yeah, they were depleted. Kane's secondary was depleted, besides for Trajan Bandy and like Amari Carter, guys like that. But the Gators ultimately beat Miami 24-20 in a crazy game. A lot of pass interferences at the end of the game that set up the Canes to possibly win. They just couldn't get it done. A lot of bad calls by the refs on both sides of the ball. Refs missing a false start on Florida and other things like that. Jeff Thomas fumbling a punt return that ultimately led up to Florida recovering that and scoring a touchdown, which won the game. just it wasn't good. The offensive line for Miami, absolutely horrible. Like, they really need to improve that, but we'll talk about that. Jaren Williams, he was 19 for 30, 204 yards, one touchdown. Felipe Franks, quarterback for Florida, he was 17 for 27, 254 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and also one rushing touchdown. Was a little inconsistent, but at the end of the game started to catch up.
The defense for Miami really showed up in that game.
Yes, they did.
That's the one thing I realized or noticed. They were really good.
Both teams very shaky.
And then obviously the stat line would make Florida's defense look good, but it was really just Miami made them look good.
Miami had a lot of false starts and bad things. Miami had the ball for over 36 minutes, but they had 14 penalties, and they were 2 of 13 on third down. Also, Gators had a lot of plays where they were just, like, off a lot of fumbles and things like that. Not fumbles, but they had were on fourth down. They had to go for a fake punt once. They were converting on fourth down, using four downs, like, a lot. And ultimately, it did pay off on most of those. Canes gave up 11 sacks. Nelson and Campbell were their two tackles. Both, one was redshirt freshman, one's a true freshman. They just gave up a lot. It was not good for Miami at all. I saw a lot of good things out of Miami. I thought if they had a good offensive line, they would have won this game to upset number 8 Florida. But ultimately, this didn't happen. I see them getting to the ACC championship, and if they can figure out this offensive line, it's going to be a very good team. Florida, they need to work on some things, but they are looking good. Felipe Franks just needs to work on his accuracy. And, you know, very enjoyable game. I really enjoyed week 0. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to Sports Report Podcast, episode 16. We had a lot of fun recording this, finally back, and then we hope you guys really enjoyed this. Follow us on social media at Sports Report Podcast on Instagram, Sports Report Po1 on Twitter, also Sports Report News on Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube, and we are on Apple Podcasts now, so you can access us through that. If you are already doing that, thank you for that. So thank you for everything.
We apologize for the couple technical glitches where we're going to have to stitch this together, but yes. We'll do our best, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. See you next one.